All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, March 7th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NBA main slate as well as a 6-game NHL main slate. Should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where I go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. It is Friday, so we do have our build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern today. Do have plenty of people signed up, so should be a fun one. So catch that in about an hour. But with that said, let's get SaberSim up. And always excited to get on here and do this show. So no questions to get us started. That's totally fine. We can start off with a build demo here and just kind of go from there, see how questions roll in as we're going along here. So we're building lineups for today's 8-game NBA main slate. First thing I want to do, right, get familiar with the slate. So I always talk about this, like to come in, sort by value. There are some huge values today, right? It's my first time looking at the slate, haven't looked at it at all. And remember, if you guys were here yesterday, kind of a lower value slate, right? We were looking at, like, you know, values in like the 5 range. There is a ton of value today, and it's pretty insane, guys. 8, 8, 7, 7, and gals, 7, 7, 6, 6. You know, there is so much value, right? Look at these on like a team basis. You know, first team popping up here, Toronto. Second team popping up here, OKC, right? So like, I kind of want to focus on them. Like, hey, what's going on in Toronto over here? Okay. Well, for one, Boucher is doubtful, right? So this will get updated as well pretty soon here. But then we look at all these other names. Podol, I think that's how you pronounce it. Mogbo, Oshai, Barrett. I think Ingram's been out, but big ones standing out to me probably are Jacob P, RJ Barrett, right? Some of like these higher salary guys, and then Boucher's about to be out. So I think the team is just like pretty thin overall. They have Barnes and Quickly. And then after that, you know, everybody else on the team is under 4K salary. Robinson under 4K, Walter under 4K, Sheed under 4K, right? This is just ends up being, you know, a ton of value here, right? So Toronto, aside from 2, 6, 7K players, everyone's really, really low salary. And then we go over to OKC. What's happening in OKC? Okay, Hartenstein out, 7K. Shai out, 11K. Wallace out, 4K. Jalen Williams out, 8K, right? Dort out, 4K. You know, this is, again, another scenario. We have Chet, who's questionable, might not even play, 7K. And then there these minutes have to be played by somebody, right? 5 spots on the court, 48 minutes. And, you know, so it just seems like there's just another ton of value on these two teams. Okay. So that's where a lot of the value is coming from. Again, I talk about like, hey, you know, if it's in your arsenal and you have the time, you know, spend a little extra time looking at these teams and try to figure out, you know, do you agree with where the minutes are going and some of the expectations that we're expecting here, just like playing time wise, production wise, or do you think that there's opportunity to make adjustments, right? So that's what I would be doing here. But these are the big things that you need to know going into the slate today is how I would be paying attention to the starting lineups, right? So, you know, both these games are after lock. When teams are, you know, this you know, depleted. Sometimes they can do weird things with their starting lineup. So I would definitely be making sure you're keeping an eye to make sure that the starting lineups for Toronto and OKC come in as expected. Okay. So that is our initial preview of the slate. We do have a question here that came in. So we'll, you know, jump in and out of the slate demo. But Justin said, what ownership do you recommend using if doing multiple contests of different size and payout structure versus field lineups? Okay, so I'm a little confused by the question, but we could talk about a couple different things here. So what ownership do you recommend using if doing multiple contests of different sizes and payout structures versus field lineups? So this will depend, right, on if you're on Ultimate or Starter. Now, the easiest way for me to kind of talk about this, I think, is like with like an autofill demo, right? So like if we go into like a slate where we have autofill, let me turn this off. So let's let this render real quick. Okay, so a couple things here, right? You have your projections and all your contests over here on the side, right? Now, if you are on Ultimate and you have ROI, okay, so clarification, thank you. On Ultimate, meaning what selection to build with. So building isn't super important, right? When we go back to our build here, you know, the sliders are being set based on the number of games on the slate. And we don't recommend adjusting them, right? And then from there, right, after you run your build, then you're going to run your contest sims, which are using the actual contests in your that you're playing, right? Now, all of these should have pre-assigned field lineups. The only time they won't have pre-assigned field lineups is if you uploaded your entry file before our ownership projections were up. So that can sometimes happen. If that happens, you're going to have to manually assign them, unfortunately. And the way you do that, or the guidelines I would follow, are in our custom contest sim section here. So what I would do is open up a custom contest sim, go to this eye icon, and then you can look at where each contest falls. So like low stakes are $4 and under. Flagship is like $5 to $30. Medium stakes is $31 to $99. And then high stakes is $100 or more. And then single entry falls under SE. I think it's fine to put your three maxes under SE as well. And then 20 maxes or like anything bigger, you know, and then MME is like for 150s, right? And if you have things falling in between, you just kind of got to pick one. But the best thing that you can do is wait in the mornings, right? When you come in here, maybe you're looking at the slate earlier in the day, wait to upload your entries until you come into a build and you see ownership projections. Because if you do that, that will make sure that all of your field lineups get correctly assigned. They're basically not here yet until the ownership is built. So when they're not here, the builder can't assign them, unfortunately, right? So that is the small nuance there with how that works. All right. But outside of that, right, let's say you run your ROI. So you're in autofill, you know, you kick off your contest sims. After you kick off your contest sims, it's going to auto switch to sorting by ROI. And then in the rank by, you see the ROI is automatically used for each contest. Okay. Now, this ROI that's being shown is the contest specific ROI for each contest on the same row. Okay. So all that is happening automatically for you, and you don't have to worry about that. All right. Two questions here. One is directly related to what we're talking about, and one is a slightly different topic. So I'm going to jump around slightly. How would you do the same thing on the pro sub? So on the pro sub, what you want to do is you want to stick with using SaberScore, okay? But the difference here is that you're going to have to pick one specific SaberScore. So what you're going to have to do is, well, what I would recommend is going to the contest tab, basically taking like a screenshot of your contest that you're playing and the entrance. So if you guys are on Windows, you use Windows Shift S. I don't know how you do it on Mac, but you basically, you take a screenshot, right? And then it'll look like this. So I can see like my contest and then I can see my entrance. And then what I would do is I would go to my build, right? Where I have my autofill. And then I would basically bring this up like on the side, right? And I could even like zoom in if I need to. So how did I do this? Let's zoom out slightly. Okay, so here's like probably close enough, right? I can see my entrance and then I can see the contest names. Like I'm just like doing an example, right? So then what I would do, right, is I would, you know, bring this up somewhere where I could see it. And then I would go and I would set all of my Saber scores specific for the size of the contest I'm playing, right? This top one, say, is 400. Okay, I go and I set my Saber score in the rank by column specifically to Saber score 100 to 1K. And then for the next contest, I would set it Saber score 10K to 50K because this one's 23,000, right? So that's what you have to do if you're on like pro or starter. The ownership doesn't matter because the ownership that you see in the field lineups is directly related to the ownership that you see is directly related to the contest sim. So this field lineups and this basically the sim setting section is not important unless you're on ultimate, okay? Like you're not going to really do anything with this other than use this entrance column to set your Saber scores accordingly, right? And the reason for that is that ownership isn't taken into account when you build lineups, right? We're taking into account correlation. We're taking into account sim diversity. Where ownership comes into play, and we'll just build some lineups so we can see this. And I'm going to let these lineups run real quick. So we'll let these lineups run. And I think my camera's acting up a little bit. Let me see if I can fix that while these are running. But anyways, build's almost finished here. Okay, so notice, right, the default sorting metric here is Saber score. That's what this large slate 10K to 50K represents up here underneath where it says download lineups in like the upper right, right? So that Saber score, which is our default sorting metric. Now, Saber score, so just to go back, right? Ownership not taken into account in the lineup construction process, where it is taken into account is in the lineup grading process, okay? So when we go to grade the lineups by Saber score or even like the field lineups, right? Because the contest sim is effectively using ownership. That's the field lineups make up the ownership projections, right? So no matter what plan you're on, ownership is always being taken into account after the fact, right? And I think I got my camera fixed. Cool. So if we go into Saber score, right? And we go in and we look at any one of these. Click this eye icon. We can see the variables being used. Sum projection, percentile, and then this ownership variable, right? This is our adjusted ownership. It's this other column over here on the side. I'll talk about it a little more. But and there's a negative weight, right? So the bigger the ownership, the more we're taxing the lineup. And the reason for that is that we want to be aware of not playing the highest owned lineups possible, right? Because if you can get good players at low ownership, that obviously helps you since less players will have those players in your contest. All right. So ownership always taken into account here. Now, where this number comes from, it is adjusted ownership is an in-house calculation. We basically look at a player's range of outcomes, which is this graph, and we say, how likely are they to hit their projection? And then we look at their ownership, and then we say, do they deserve this ownership based on their range of outcomes? Now, what's a little bit tricky is that the lower the adjusted ownership, the better. And what I mean is, when you compare somebody's ownership to their adjusted ownership and adjusted is below the contest ownership, that's a good thing. When adjusted is higher than the contest ownership, that's actually a bad thing. And that's the reason that we have the negative weight, right? The bigger the numbers, the more it hurts the lineup. But the smaller the numbers, the more it helps it, right? So, like, we think Scotty Barnes is a very good play today, and that makes a ton of sense. He's the highest salary player on his team, and a bunch of the other players are hurt. We think he's going to get a ton of usage, a ton of minutes, and you know, probably take a bunch of shots, right? So it makes sense to me why Scotty Barnes' adjusted ownership is way below his actual ownership, right? But anyways, the ownership is coming from this my own column, right? And if you're on pro or starter, you're going to have flagship MME, which is just like our default ownership. And then that flagship MME gets put into the adjusted ownership formula. And then the adjusted ownership of the lineup as a whole gets used in the Saber score formula. Okay. So that's how ownership is being taken into account on other plans that are non-ultimate specific. All right. Good stuff there. Next question, is it mandatory to use uniques in a 20 max NBA? It is not mandatory to use uniques, right? We recommend it. And the reason for that, right, is DFS is a very high variance game. So anything that you can do to lower variance, and the way you lower variance is by inserting diversification into your process, we think that's generally good. And if you can get diversification for a very small price, pay a very small price to get that, we think that's good. That's why I'm always in here saying, okay, how are my projection and ROIs changing as I increase the uniques? I want to get some diversification, but I don't want to get it if I have to sacrifice too much of either of these metrics or whatever metrics you're using in order to get it, right? So it's not mandatory. You don't have to use it at all. If you come in here and you look at your exposures and your leverages and you're happy with these and they feel good to you, then by all means, you know, leave it at one and upload your lineups. But if you feel the risk is high, if you like the idea of adding players to your player pool, right? If I like jump to five uniques, my player pool goes from 33 to 47. My top exposure is now 50 instead of 80%, right, at one unique. If you like that effect, continue to do it. If you don't like that effect, don't do it at all, right? So it's always person specific, but think of min uniques as a tool in your toolbox. Not to say that you need to, you know, use your hammer every single time you go and, you know, build your lineups, right? Maybe you don't need your hammer today, right? So that's the way I like to think about it, but that's not mandatory at all. All right. So we've been going back and forth here between questions and build demo here. So we're caught up with questions at the moment. So we did build our lineups, right? So we talked earlier, getting familiar with the slate, the big value with Toronto and OKC today. We did build 500 lineups here, just default settings. Sometimes, guys, I know I talk about increasing minimum salary, right? When there is a slate where there is a ton of value, I might be okay leaving it with a little bit wider band here, just because there are so many low price players. And sometimes if you increase it too high, you're only going to be able to get to like certain combinations of the value plus higher salary players. So if I build lineups today, right, you know, I usually come in here, increase minimum salary, I would probably just leave it at default just because it is such a high value slate. Okay. So just something to keep in mind there. You can still increase it if you want it, you know, as long as you like what that lineups look like on the other side, I'd probably give the builder a little bit more flexibility here myself today. Right. So anyways, set my, you know, lineup salaries, build my lineups. I would go to my contest tab, upload my entry file to create my contest sim, right? And then I'm going to have this, you know, white contest up here at the top, indicating that I've uploaded my file. Then I go back to my build one, run my contest sim, and I'm sorting by exposure. I can see my exposure, my leverage, my pool. It switches to ROI automatically, which is great if you have a file uploaded. I don't, so I got to go switch it. And then I'm going to sort by average ROI. So this doesn't look like we've updated for the Boucher being doubtful. So I'm just going to go and just set a minimum, a max exposure of zero just to get him out of there, because we don't want to consider him in this case, right? So this is my baseline. Sorting correctly, one unique. All my players are in. My highest exposure is 75%. My average projection is 308.3. And my average ROI is 220. Okay. Now I'm ready to, you know, start making my adjustments. Again, you don't have to make any, right? You could be like, hey, you know, I like what I see. I'm ready to download and go. You could make adjustments if you want. This whole post build is customizing your lineups, right? Min, max exposures, uniques, filters, right? Trying to find the 20 lineups that you want to take with you into your contest. Okay. So all this is customization. We don't have to do anything at this point. We can save these and upload them. All right. Demetrius said, what build settings would you recommend for a main slate and showdowns on DK? Honestly, I would recommend the default, right? The build settings, you know, like these that you go in and click this settings icon. The sliders are set by the number of games on the slate. So this is an 8-game slate. They're at 2-7. You go check a showdown, it's going to be at 0-10, right? Where we're using single game simulations and not applying any correlation component, right? The only things I consider changing are like the minimax salaries. And that's a little fluid, right? Like, hey, 8-game slate today, I'm leaving at the default salaries. Maybe a lower value slate, I might be increasing my minimum salary. For showdowns, I usually open up my salary, right? Like if it's 45K, I might drop it to 40,000 to allow for more types of lineups to appear. But I might do that for NFL showdown. I might not do that for NBA showdown, right? For MMA, I think the default's like 47.5. I might do 45,000. So all of these are like kind of sport specific decisions. You got to figure out what makes sense to you. You know, some people just come in here and they set it to zero, and that's fine. You know, SaberSim isn't going to use, you know, 20,000 lineups just be, or make a lineup with 20,000 salary just because you allowed it. It's going to go based off of the sim outcomes. You know, if there happens to be a lineup that low that also grades out well in the sim, then you might get it, right? So that just happens. Dimitri said, would you set a filter today? Player pool filter? Yeah, I think it's totally fine, right? It's always okay to curate your player pool. I always set one like super, super low, like 10 points. And I just use it as like a cutoff. That way I don't ever have to worry or think about that. But yeah, you could set filters, right? If you want to curate your player pool, somebody came asked me the other day, like, hey, how do I get my player pool down to 60 players, right? Some people want to be super aggressive. Some people want to be a lot more hands off, right? I'm a little bit more in like the hands off crowd. And the reason for that, right, is, you know, we're playing these contests that are very, very big, right? So imagine you're playing the $4 20 max, you know, 17,835 entries, right? Okay, we bring out the calculator, 17,835. And let's say you're maxing it out, right? Your raw chance of winning is 891-1 if you're maxing this out, okay? Now, you know, let's say that there's a player, and we'll just go back to a build. Who maybe they don't grade out like super well, right? So like take a player, I don't know, like Bam Adebayo today, right? So Bam has a 40-point projection, 1% ownership. But when you go and look at like he has a 68.8% 99th percentile. So what that means is that in 1% of our sims, he is scoring at least 68 points. Well, here, right, I need to achieve an outcome that happens one in almost 900 times. And Bam is scoring, you know, 68 points one out of 100 times. This is kind of why I think like it's okay to like leave your player pool wide, because the chances of you like the score you need a player to achieve probably happens more often than like the raw chance of like you winning the contest. And like, okay, Bam, like one out of 100 is scoring 68 points. I win this contest on average one out of 900 times. You know, why am I like really leaving him out of my player pool? You know, because like his high sim outcomes can occur, and I want to include him at the rate that they're happening, right? So for me, it's just like, let the sims put the players into the lineups at the rates that they do well enough to be in them. You know, he might only end up in like 3% of lineups. That's fine. I probably want him in those 3%. Some people, you know, using hard and fast rules might just be like, hey, you know, he's only showing up good like 3% of the time. I kind of just want to ignore him. You know, I get it. You know, he's not doing good enough often enough, but you know, those outcomes still occur, right? And the chances of that happening are still greater than, you know, you winning the contest based on just like the raw numbers that we're looking at. So that's the way I think about it. Aggie said, quick question for GPPs. Is it better to use SaberSim to fill my lineups around a core four or use it to identify $4,500 range high ceiling players? You can use it both ways. You know, if you want it set a core, if you know you want to play a certain set of players, no matter what, the best thing to do is just tell SaberSim that up front and let it figure out what are the best pieces around your core, right? You can do that with a rule. I would just go to rules, add new rule, group manual, say use, you know, exactly four, and then go and click edit players and then put your four players in, right? When you do that, SaberSim is going to put your four players in, and then it will build the rest of your lineups out around those players, right? I think that's a good thing to do. Now, running default builds, you can also find, you know, good players to play, right? You just find it sorting by value. Like, hey, you know, come in here, sort by value, or, you know, sort by exposures, right? Run a build, sort by exposures. Okay. You know, Nurkic, 3,700, high value, a lot of exposure. Orlando Robinson, high value, 3,500, lot of exposure, right? You can make notes like this too, right? So you can go through here and like, hey, what players are popping the most in the Sims, right? Usually it's like the higher value guys. That makes a ton of sense to me. So these are the ways that I would be doing it. You could use it for research. You could use it. You could do the research and then put them in your group rule, right? It's like a couple different ways to go about it, but I think it's good for both purposes that you recommend it. All right. Demetrius said, thank you. You're welcome. But with that said, I think we're caught up here. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back in about 30 minutes for our build review show. So until then, everyone, take care. Thanks. Bye.